boosting college skills in more Maine students. Students from lower-income families have a much lower chance of attending and graduating from college than middle- and high-income students. A 2013 report found that 12% of students entering the University of Maine system and 50% of all students entering Maine community colleges needed remedial classes. There are many reasons for this, from family background to lack of resources. But there are also successful programs designed to help these students navigate academic, social, and logistical barriers to college. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we'll discuss how Maine is meeting the challenge of helping young people from lower-income, rural, and first-generation college families navigate higher education. And we'll discuss what needs to change. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Well, the news these days is all about college admissions scandals. The vast majority of high school students are simply focused on getting through school and figuring out what's next. For those students who may need a little extra preparation to be ready for college, Maine offers programs that help, and we are going to learn more about that today. Joining me in the studio, Catherine Luwaldi. She is director of the TRIO Student Support Services at Southern Maine Community College. Karen Keim is director of Maine Educational Opportunity Center and Educational Talent Search based at the University of Maine in Orono. And Lynn Plouffe Davis is director of Upward Bound and Student Support Services with UMaine Farmington. As always, we want to hear from you. Do you have a high school student who doesn't seem ready for college? Or maybe you have a college student who really could have used some more preparation beforehand. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you all for being here today. And you know, I think we've heard a little bit about this over the years. Our previous governor, Paul LePage, would talk about how he really wanted to boost success for students, not only those going to college, but to trade school. Very upset about how many kids, in his words, needed remedial help once they got to college. But I want to sort of ask sort of a broader question to begin with. And Karen, you can jump in, or Catherine, you or Lynn, what do we know about what a kid's background is and his or her success in college? What do the numbers tell us?
Well, we know that the wealthier your family is, the more likely you are to go right from high school right on to college. And the lower income students have a less likely ability to do that. And adults that start later, same. They are less likely to go and to persist and graduate if they are from families in the lower quartile of funding. So that's what we know statistically.
So higher income students who are going to take a gap year, they're going to be fine. But lower income students who say, I'm going to work first and then go to college, completely different story.
I think it's more complicated than just that. I think that higher income people always know from the day that they come out that they are going to college. And the TRIO programs in the state of Maine, they work on changing the question, should I go to college, to what college should I attend? Hmm. And I think that we use, from the languages that we use on campuses that are not welcoming and not understood by the general public, it's hard to navigate. You wouldn't go to a foreign country without knowing the language or the customs. So college is like a foreign country for people who have no experience in walking on that campus.
Okay, so I want to ask about the TRIO program and the TRIO concept in just a minute, but I want to talk about how this this tradition, this cycle translates into college readiness. Kathy, what does it mean for Maine's community college system? What do you see with students coming into it?
So just to build on what Karen said, so income is obviously a factor affecting students' preparation and then also their success within college. But also many students are, in addition to coming from low-income backgrounds, are first-generation students. And understanding the social capital that goes with being from a family that has been to college is a really important part of what we do at the community college level, where at SMCC, for example, 60% of our students are first-generation students. So navigating the process of getting into SMCC is one challenge. But once you're at SMCC, to build on Karen's analogy, we're there to help them learn the language of the expectations and of navigating all of the course requirements and so on and so forth. And our job is really to, as Karen said, help them learn a language so they're not at a disadvantage when compared to students who are coming from families with that background. And one kind of touching example is a student fails a test. And if you're coming from a first-gen family, you can't call up your mom and dad and say, I failed a test. What does that mean? A first-gen family might say, well, maybe you shouldn't be in college. Mm. Versus a family who's got some experience, you could call up and dad could say, you know what, I failed my first stats test, and this is what I did. And again, you take that for granted if you're coming from that background. And our job, particularly at community college, is to fill in those gaps for all students, but particularly students from first-gen backgrounds.
What does this mean for the UMaine system, Lynn?
Well, I think that for me, when I see our students, their choice of major, they're very career-driven, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing. But I think a lot of us who have had more privilege, who have always known we were going to college, had a lot of opportunity to explore, a lot of opportunity to consider different majors. And I worry about our first-gen students who are so career-driven that they almost don't have the opportunity to do that really wonderful exploring that you should do in your 20s.
You know, what's interesting is that so far this conversation hasn't really been about money. You know, we hear presidential candidates on the campaign trail talk a lot about the high cost of college, and it's a fact that college is prohibitively expensive to many families. But free college for all, it sounds like, is not what you guys are talking about. That's not necessarily the answer or the entire answer.
No, it definitely isn't. So not, again, to undermine the financial component of it, but definitely if you just said equal access just means equal amount of money to attend college, you're going to have students who, okay, well, I'll go to a community college, I'll go to a four-year school, and again, they'll get there, and they won't have that language, that social capital that helps them navigate the choices that they have to make. And then just to piggyback on your earlier question, the wonderful thing about community college and of the TRIO programs in particular is our mission is to help students stay in college and graduate, and particularly to use the community college system as the springboard to a four-year school. So that is part of our mission, is we hope by helping them gain that social capital that they can succeed at community college with their associate and ideally transfer. And again, money, never belittle the importance of that. But at Southern Maine Community College, many of our income-eligible students have a lot of free financial aid that pays for their classes, but many are still failing. So again, if it were just about money, that would make the problem easy, but the problem is far more complex, as we know. So,
okay, so we keep mentioning the TRIO program. Tell us about the federal TRIO programs. I understand they're more than 50 years old. What is that? What is, when you all are referring to TRIO, what is TRIO?
So in 1965, the president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, said he wanted a country that everyone had equal opportunity. And what he felt like the war, it was called the war on poverty. He felt with the thing that would level the playing fields with the haves and the have-not is an education. So he created the TRIO programs. And originally there were three. Now there are eight. The state of Maine has 28 TRIO programs combined. We serve about 7,000 students. The things that we have in common is that we target low-income, first-generation, and disabled students. We are a free program. All of our programs are free. We bring the federal monies to the middle schools, the high schools, and the colleges that we're working in to not only access education, but also to retain and graduate from those programs. So it's really was started on the war of poverty. And the TRIO programs, TRIO stands for absolutely nothing now.
Because it used to be
three and now it's
right.
Eight.
Right now it's eight, and the regulations have never changed. So we're still the TRIO programs. And Maine has, like I said, 28 of them.
And I think a lot of people have heard of Upward Bound. That's one of the TRIO programs, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So tell me how a TRIO program works in the University of Maine system.
Well, there are, as Karen said, there are eight TRIO programs. So the university system hosts all of the TRIO programs. They start with a program called Talent Search, which starts in the sixth grade and goes through the 12th grade. Upward Bound works with ninth grade through 12th grade. And then something called Student Support Services works with students when they're on campus to provide the support, both academic and emotional and social support, again, to sort of figure out that cultural and get that cultural capital that they desperately need. Plus, navigating all the other things like the financial. I mean, financial aid is huge. It's
really complicated.
It's very complicated. And students, I think, are terrified. And then to have all that, all the details and trying to navigate that really complex pathway, they need a lot of help. They need a lot of support.
And Catherine, how does it work in the
So a student support system. We are the college TRIO program designed specifically for, we're the two-year program, all the other UMaine systems, they have four-year programs. So the goal there is, again, to help students navigate the process of getting in, setting up their goals, their majors and the requirements, and hopefully getting them to finish and, in many cases, transfer. And one thing I want to emphasize, the really fun part of TRIO is that it's a program from middle school through, in some cases, there is a graduate school program, where it really underscores this notion of access and education as a process. And so we have some students that were introduced to a TRIO program in high school, and now they're at community college, and they're going to go off to a four-year school being supported by TRIO all the way. And what I, one thing I really enjoy about working for TRIO is I call it an active imagination, not should I go to school, but why don't I go to school, and what do I want to do when I'm there? And I think many college students, regardless of their backgrounds, those questions can feel very big and overwhelming. But particularly if you're coming from a first-gen or a low-income family, no one's ever asked you that question. So TRIO programs as early as sixth grade are preparing you for what I describe as this act of imagination, this leap of faith for many students.
And Karen, you mentioned, you mentioned 7,000 students, and that's a huge number. But it strikes me, just thinking about the size of Maine and the demographics of Maine, that there could be a lot more students being served.
Oh, absolutely. I think that the TRIO programs serve about 2 to 3% of the eligible population. But I also want to say that TRIO programs are not only for youth. There's also adult programs. So the Educational Opportunity Center is for people who are 19 and over, and the Student Support Service Program deals with adults also. So it's not just college access for youth. It's also for adults who want to go back. But we are only serving about, I think it's 3% in Maine, of the eligible population who are qualify for our programs.
Is that because the rest don't know about TRIO? Is that because there isn't enough money to serve more? Why not?
So every public institution of higher education in the state of Maine has at least one TRIO program, except for Maine Maritime Academy and the University of Maine Machias. They are competitive federal grants, so you have to write for the grant. It's a competition. You're scored on based on what you've done. If you have a grant, like all of us have grants that are in the room, we would be scored on how successful we were in meeting our goals and objectives, the number of students that were served. So we're funded to serve a specific amount of students. So my Educational Opportunity Program, we serve 2,269 adults across the whole state of Maine. My Talent Search serves 1,111 students, but you have to be in the targeted schools that we're serving to be eligible for that program.
So given that 97 to 98% of the students that might be able to qualify for TRIO aren't, what kind of guidance can you give schools that are not lucky enough to be served by a TRIO program? What do we need to be doing to be preparing those other 97 or 98% of kids for post-secondary education?
I think that the hard part is that TRIO is very relationship-based. We know our students really, really well. And when I go into a high school to see my students, who I've seen now for 2 or 3 years, and maybe some of their siblings and friends, I know that the high schools don't have the resources to spend that kind of time with them. But that's what it takes. It takes that kind of time and energy to create a pathway or help a student create their own pathway to get where they're going.
I just want to put a shout out. There are a couple Maine-based programs, Jobs for Maine Graduates, JMG. They have a pretty large presence in Maine High School, and they have some similarities with the TRIO programs. And then in Maine as well, there's a program called Embark, likewise based in Maine High Schools. They do not have the same constraints as TRIO does because we're federally funded. So if anybody is listening who has a high schooler and they're saying, wow, I don't think there's a TRIO program, the first question is find out if there is. But if there isn't a TRIO program, definitely look into Embark and JMG. Those are two kind of comparable programs that, again, that don't have the same restrictions as TRIO programs have in some cases.
And we also have Gear Up, which is a huge program in the state of Maine that's serving schools as well. So we have a lot of programs. So how do we get more programs? I think it would be remiss of all of us if we left any federal dollars on. There's not enough money in the state of Maine to do the kind of services that we do on an individual basis. So we need to go out and go after all the federal grants and monies that we can bring back to augment our schools. And that's what we do. We don't replicate what the high schools and the middle schools and the colleges are doing. We augment and support and bring additional resources to schools. And that's why schools want to work with us.
Lynn, you know, you talked about relationships, and it brought to mind a story I covered years ago, and I believe it was Oxford Hills High School, where the teachers and the administration were pairing students with business owners who were serving as mentors. In your view, can homegrown programs like this, where giving students a mentor that can help guide them, does that serve the same kind of purpose?
Absolutely. I mean, I think students who will be the first in their families to go to college need those role models and need that very practical and pragmatic advice. But they also need trust, and they need to form relationships with adults that are going to support them and help them and meet them where they are. And I do think that's what TRIO programs, JMG, they do really well. I can think of hundreds of students that I still am in contact with, even though they're in their 40s, that I knew when they were 16 years old. And they get in touch, and we talk, and they still come back for advice and support. So it's really fun.
We're talking about getting students, especially students from low-income, rural, first-generation families, ready for college. If you have a question, you can call us at 1-800-399-3566. You can email us at talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Evergreen Home Performance, dedicated to helping homeowners qualify for Efficiency Maine energy audit and insulation rebates. More at evergreenyourhome.com. By Northern Light Health, healthcare that's Maine founded, Maine focused, and Maine proud. Learn more at MaineMadeUS.com. And the Portland Food Co-op, a community-owned market featuring a wide selection of local and organic products, open to everyone 7 days a week.
Becky Starnicki's son, Nick, struggled with addiction.
He went through more rehabs than I can count, and I could tell something wasn't right.
It's true, something was not right. I'm Elsa Chang. A Mother Jones investigation into patient brokers, insurance scams, and the shady world of rehab. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening here on Maine Public Radio. A special thanks to Derek from Arundel for his donation of a Ford Escape. Donations to the Maine Public Car Donation Program make a big difference for your public radio station and in most cases result in a tax deduction for you. Towing is free, and the great feeling you get from supporting the programming that you enjoy and count on is priceless. If you're thinking of what to do with your car, please consider Maine Public. It's easy. Just visit mainepublic.org, click on Support, and then the Maine Public Vehicle Donation Program. Thanks.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking about college readiness. Joining me today, Karen Keim, Director of EOC and Educational Talent Search at UMaine Orono. Lynn Plouffe-Davis, Director of Upward Bound and Student Support Services with UMaine Farmington. and Catherine Luwaldi, Director of TRIO Student Support Services at Southern Maine Community College. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Joining us on the line now, Marianne Mukhtar. She is a student in the TRIO program. Thanks for joining us, Marianne.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Thank you for having me.
How did you get involved in TRIO? How did you find out about it?
I was already involved in Upper Bound Math and Science, and I had a homeroom teacher at high school that was the GMG teacher. So I was aware of, like, student services programs, but and I always seek for help even if I wasn't getting it from one place.
So when you say you were involved in Upward Bound and Jobs for Maine graduates, where were you in high school?
Portland High School.
Okay. Can you share an example or two of how the program helped you?
The program at Southern Maine Community College, the TRIO program, helped me a lot. I just came into their office so many times asking questions, and I sat down with Catherine so many times. But what really helped me with mostly with this program is picking up the right classes and also my graduation process, as well as like my transferring process.
Where are you today? What are you doing?
Right now?
Well, just this year. What's up in your life?
Right now, I'm in the process of transferring at SMCC. That's where I'm at.
And where do you plan to go next?
Anywhere but Maine.
Oh, no. No, I'm kidding. So, but Marianne, let me ask you this. What advice would you give a young person by yourself, like you were, who maybe is not thinking of themselves as someone who's bound for college?
Mm-hmm. No, I feel like a lot of, I have a group of friends that don't know much about student services here, but I advise them to ask questions and to not be shy to go into an office and ask what the programs are for, how do I get in. But I feel like they should just come in and ask more questions and be curious, because curiosity got me into TRIO.
Curiosity. Well, I would agree that curiosity and tenacity are fantastic traits. Thank you so much for calling in, Marianne, and good luck to you. Also now on the line with us, Erin Cinelli. She is Executive Director of the Emmanuel and Pauline A. Lerner Foundation. Its Aspirations Incubator program focuses on students from rural areas. Thanks for calling in, Erin.
Thanks for having me.
What is important to consider as students prepare for college beyond academics and test scores?
Well, I think, you know, developmentally in middle school, it's a time when students are thinking about who am I and what do people like me do, and kind of that beginning of developing an aspiration for your future really happens in those early grades in 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And supporting aspirations is about illuminating a pathway to the future and supporting a young person in their effort to select a path that's right for them. You know, there's the academic component of it, certainly, but also beyond that academic piece, students really need social, emotional, and resiliency skills to prepare them for overcoming the inevitable bumps in the road that they navigate that pathway towards their college experience.
What does your program do with mentoring, and why do you believe that's important?
So the Aspirations Incubator is a pilot program. We're taking a youth development model that we know works really well in one community in Mid-Coast Maine. It's called Trekkers, and we're adapting it to 7 other communities in rural areas and small cities to see if we can figure out an approach that works really well with older adolescents to build that social capital and those resiliency skills that the other guests were talking about. Through that mentoring relationship and making sure that students feel supported as they think about what the options are for their future. And the program combines mentoring, community engagement, and opportunities that develop and support post-secondary aspirations.
Erin, do you believe there are particular barriers for rural students in terms of being ready for college?
Yes. What we've seen with our students as we've talked with them, right now we have 7th and 8th graders, you know, the idea of college both seems like it's far away, both in time and also in terms of distance, depending on where they live. The students in rural communities may not have an opportunity to explore the world beyond their local area, or much less visit a college campus. And having an opportunity to go to a campus, to see themselves there, understand what it looks like, what it feels like, it's really critical to nurturing that aspiration to see themselves as a college student in the future. And then in terms of their readiness for the actual transition to college, unless they live near a college or university that's located in a more rural area, leaving home and going to live in a new, you know, maybe bigger community, whether it's in Maine or elsewhere, with a variety of different people can really be a culture shock or feel isolating. So I think, you know, a really important component of being able to know what is available to students and to be ready to access those services that everyone is talking about on the show today is that they need to have that social capital, that sense of resiliency to know how to ask for help and then also how to receive it.
Erin, thanks so much for calling in. Erin Schinelli, Executive Director of the Lerner Foundation. Catherine, you were nodding when she talked about barriers for rural students.
Well, and another very obvious one that we tend to overlook if we're not in rural Maine is just internet access. So if you don't have internet access or reliable internet access, that can affect your ability to do well in high school, but it can just affect your ability to look beyond your community via the World Wide Web. So that is kind of a fundamental component when you're talking about leveling the playing fields. But I also nodding because I love the language of aspiration. So we can boil college preparation and access and support down to dollars and cents and credits and degrees. But in the end, it's aspirational. And how do we help people see themselves in a place, in a role that maybe no one's ever suggested to them that they could do that? And then how do we support them in making that happen? And I can't speak for my colleagues, but that is why this job is not only a privilege, but it's a huge amount of fun. Because students take us along for the ride, and they teach us far more in many cases than we teach them. So,
I'm going to go to Skip, who's calling from Stonington. Hi, Skip. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you today?
Great.
So you were just talking about a homegrown program, and we have one at Deer Isle Stonington High School that I'd like to share with your listeners. Kim Hutchinson runs a program called Project Launch, and it's funded by a benefactor. It's not part of the school budget. And Kim starts working with seniors and their parents in applying for college and getting them ready psychologically for what the change is going to be. And then she has a set of gurus, she calls, who are graduates of the Deer Isle Stonington High School who are in various campuses of the University of Maine or Bowdoin Bates or wherever. And they partner with the incoming freshmen to help them adjust socially, culturally, and educationally. And the whole purpose of this is to help these new students make a transition. And the problem was that 40% of our students were dropping out of college the first year. And because of this program that Kim has started maybe 5 years ago, it's down to like 2 or 3%. So it's been a huge success. It's not, it's just a great thing, and it could be very easily copied by any high school in the state of Maine.
Skip, thank you so much for calling and sharing that information about Project Launch. If somebody wanted to learn more, would you suggest that they call the Deer Isle Stonington High School?
Call the Deer Isle Stonington High School, 348-2303.
Terrific, Skip. Thank you so much. Is this a program any of you
thank
are familiar
you.
With?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was asking my guests if they'd heard of it.
You know, I think that Maine is a mother of invention. We have so much need out there. And I think that everybody that's called in, I'm hearing the work of TRIO being done in different ways. And it's wonderful to see so many things happening around the communities. There are so many wonderful programs all around the state. And if we could just duplicate them and if there was more money to offer more programs. But there's wonderful things going on in every corner of the state of Maine.
And also he mentioned parents. I just want to – that's an incredible component of any pre-college access and success programs. So parents have to be on the journey as well. And it sounds like that's a critical factor to his program success. And that's a critical component of the pre-college programs of TRIO as well.
Thank you, Skip. Tim on Facebook writes, an estimated 1 in 5 teens are living with known mental health conditions. The stress of college and the transition to college can significantly exacerbate the symptoms they experience. Developmentally, the college years are the peak period in which new diagnoses are likely to emerge. As a social worker who has worked with college mental health, as a college mental health counselor, I've seen how debilitating this can be for students. What do these programs do to prepare students to understand their needs and resources available to care for their mental health throughout the transition to college and through their college career? What kind of partnership or advocacy do the programs engage in to ensure robust access to on-campus mental health services?
I can speak for both Upward Bound and Student Support Services with our high school students. They're on campus with us for 6 weeks during the summer program, so we have a lot of opportunity to work with our Upward Bound students around what kind of services are available on a college campus and how do you access those. But even more basic than that, how to ask for help, how to admit that you do need support. And sometimes that's really hard for an independent first-gen student who thinks they're already supposed to know everything. Once they get to college, our Student Support Services program at UMF, we have very close relationships with our mental health counselors, with our health service. So and again, I think the beauty of TRIO anyway is, and many of these other programs, is that we know our students really well. So there's trust, and we know when things aren't quite right. And they might be coming in for free printing, but we might see a look on their face and go, hey, what's going on? And that starts a whole process of support.
And I think also in developing the relationships that we have with our students and our participants is that they know that they can call us for a referral. We do a lot of referral work to community providers and especially to our students that are on a campus already. So we're the guidance counselor sort of that goes with them when they go off to school. So they already know that they've got us in their back pocket that they can call and on. And it was a great question. We do try and refer and show, teach people how to ask and to look for the resources that are available to them right there on their campuses.
Lori on Facebook writes, don't forget TRIO, Maine Veterans, Upward Bound that serves all of Maine.
Go, Lori.
Lori Davis.
College preparation services for Maine veterans who want to pursue post-secondary education program is based at the University of Southern Maine. You guys are all smiling. You all know Lori.
We do.
We're going to go to Ashley, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Ashley. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to touch base back on the rural aspect of, you know, secondary education. And how I think it's really important for parents, especially in, you know, like blue-collar families who've never gone to college, to urge their children to go to school. Because in my experience, I was never urged to go to college. And I waited 7 years, and I'm finally in school again. And it's amazing. So if they're, you know, and a lot of people don't have, like, a lot of, you know, inspiration. Especially in my high school, we had a lot of kids dropping out around, you know, 16, 17 years old, and their parents were like, totally fine. Yeah, that's whatever you want to do, you know, or work in the family business. But I think it's also very important for parents to realize, you know, that they need to urge their children, you know, to at least try attempt a higher education.
Ashley, congratulations to you. Let me ask you how you're doing it. Are you seeking services? Or are you looking for help actively? Or are you trying to do it all on your own?
I've been doing it on my own, and it's been difficult, especially, you know, at the age of 28, juggling a full-time job, living in Portland, you know, it's not cheap. So it's definitely, and I go to community college, I go to SMCC, but I'm trying to juggle it on my own and go, you know, full-time. So it is definitely difficult, and I'm not really familiar with all the services out there.
Hey, Ashley, come by SMCC, the TRIO office. Come introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you. We can talk.
Okay, wonderful. All right.
Well, good luck to you, Ashley. Thanks so much for calling in. We'll go to Catherine calling from Cornish. Hi, Catherine. Go ahead.
Hi. This is just a great program. both my children, unfortunately, I hate to admit it, we kind of railroaded them into college because it was just the thing to do. When you know, my husband and I went to college in the 80s, and that's just something we did. My son went to Keene State for 6 weeks and called us and came home, and there was a mental health component there, and there was a, you know, he just wasn't ready. And to let kids know that taking a gap year is perfectly, you know, acceptable and wonderful, and he took that year and went and rented an apartment and worked, and my daughter did the same thing, and it gave them a year to grow up, and it gave them a year to, you know, kind of think about what they wanted to do rather than just kind of, you know, get on the bandwagon to go to college. So I just wanted to put gap year out there as a really good way to to do it.
Sure. Thanks for calling in, Catherine.
Yeah, I just want to add that for many of us, it's the trajectory of we're 18, we go to college, we graduate at 22, our life is launched. But the beauty of working in Maine in higher ed, and particularly at the community college, is people do it in a whole variety of ways. You might come in at 18, you might come in as our recent caller, you might come in as a 28-year-old working full-time mom or dad. And those scenarios are really the reality of higher ed, and that's what programs like TRIO are designed to help students meet them where they're at. So gap years are awesome, but also if you're listening to this and you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and you've thought, well, how would I do this, and should I do it, and why do it? Programs like TRIO are here to at least help you address those questions and maybe get an answer that you didn't expect.
And I think finding the right college is also part of it, a good fit. You know, it's more than just looking at a brochure. It's, am I comfortable on this campus? Do they have the major that I'm looking for? All of that. What's my comfort zone? It's like trying on a pair of shoes. They look great on the shelf. But until you put them on your feet and you walk around in them, you don't know if it's a good fit for you. College is the same way. You need to go onto campus. You need to visit. You need to see what's available, what the campuses offer. We've got some wonderful opportunities here in Maine. But finding that right fit where your academic, where you are and where you need to be successful in that launch, the TRIO programs can help you navigate that journey. And the caller's right. Some people need time off and some people don't. It's finding that right fit and where do I belong and which campus would I be the best fit for.
We're talking about college readiness. If you'd like to call, the phone number 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Portland Volvo Cars, dedicated to providing exceptional service, Route 1 in Scarborough, and online at portlandvolvo.com. By UMaine's Collins Center for the Arts, with Tchaikovsky's The Sleeping Beauty, performed by the Russian National Ballet on March 20th. And Frenchie's Thoreau's Flame Candle, commemorating Henry David Thoreau and his love of the Maine woods, available at frenchiesnatural.com.
On the next Fresh Air, animal emotions and what they tell us about ourselves. We talk with Franz DeWall. He directs the Living Link Center at the Yerkes National Primate Research Center. In his new book, he writes about primate bonding, sharing, resentment, rivalry, sex, and murder, and about how he's bonded with some of the primates he studies. Join us.
Tonight at 7 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. And coming up after Maine Calling at 2 o'clock, it's World Affairs, the end of the current world order, eroding democracies and rising nationalism. This program explores the forces fueling the erosion of democracies worldwide. Coming up shortly again at 2 o'clock after Maine Calling here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, different options to better prepare for college. Joining us today, Lynn Plouffe-Davis with Upward Bound, and Student Support Services at UMaine Farmington. Catherine Lewaldy with TRIO Student Support Services at SMCC, and Karen Keim with Maine Educational Opportunity Center at UMaine Orono. If you'd like to join our conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now on the line, Sabrina Freeman. She attends the University of Southern Maine. She's studying social work and is a Promise Scholar. Thanks for calling in, Sabrina. Tell us about the Promise Scholarship.
Hi. So the Promise Scholarship it's a new scholarship that was started this year, and I think our Promise class is 14 kids. And so it just helps us financially, but it also is more of a program. It's not just a scholarship. So we have volunteer opportunities we can do together. And we also meet with our advisor more often, and they help us in anything like we talked about writing resumes and connecting to job opportunities. And they just kind of give us some extra information that we might need.
Sabrina, what do you hope to do after college?
I hope to be a social worker and help underprivileged kids.
Great. And how's college going so far?
It's good. It's definitely, there's a lot. I've picked up a lot of stuff. I do track and field. I work two jobs, and school is a lot of homework. But it's going good, though.
Do you feel as though you were prepared in high school for college?
I had the opportunity to take classes at UMA because I went to high school very close to Augusta. So I took some college classes at UMA, and I think those really helped me because I was able to take just two at a time instead of taking all five like I would these semesters. And it gave me the opportunity to get a little bit of a taste, but not be overwhelmed. I think that was a really good option.
Well, good luck to you, Sabrina. It sounds like you're busy. I appreciate you taking the time to call in today. That's Sabrina Freeman, who's a first-year Promise Scholar at USM. We're going to go to Christina, who's calling from the Maine Seacoast Mission in Cherryfield in Bar Harbor. Hi, Christina. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call and for including me in the conversation. I actually was just leaving one of the high schools that we're working with. We are developing a new college readiness program up here in Washington and Eastern Hancock counties, and we will be serving first-generation students who come from low-income backgrounds to support them to prepare for college and to succeed in college. And so I really honor and celebrate all that my good colleagues with Upward Bound and the Learner Foundation are doing. We're also actually one of the sites for the Learner Foundation grants and have an initiative with middle school students here based in Cherryfield as well. But what I wanted to add to the rich conversation, I've only been able to hear a little bit of it, is I've certainly learned over many years working with first-generation college-bound students how essential it is that we recognize and value and draw from the strengths they bring and the strengths that their communities and their families bring, that along with all of the obstacles, particularly when it comes to serving students who are from rural communities and from low-income communities, that along with that, those students and their families bring tremendous wisdom and tradition and strength and resilience. And in our programs, what we are doing is building on that as a place to start when we are working to prepare them for college. And so even the wonderful group of students I was just with up at Narragansett High School, we were very much talking about that, who they are, where they come from, why their communities matter to them, along with all the statistics that are perhaps dispiriting. So I just wanted to add that I think it's really important that we always begin with the strength that our students bring.
Christina, thank you so much for calling in.
I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much, because often it can sound like people are approaching it as a deficit. So you have a deficit and we have to fill that deficit. And really, one of our missions at SMCC in particular, and TRIO, is to, yes, celebrate your differences. Your differences from non-first gen and non-Mainers, and you can go down the line, is part of your strength and part of the power that you bring to the package and your individuality. So I really appreciate that addition to the conversation. So thank you to the caller.
Yeah, thank you, Christina. Carolyn on Facebook writes, Why is it all college all the time? The demographic you're targeting is struggling with poverty, and now we're saddling them with tens of thousands of dollars of debt, all while ignoring the deficit in tradesmen and not putting the effort into trades that tend to be a less expensive option and a higher rate of return for your learning dollar.
Well, I'm going to start because I think Lynn already pointed out that, yes, there's a certain benefit and of exploring college at the four-year level. And the community college system is really designed for as a springboard for both the idea of going to four-year, but also for trades. And community colleges are a remarkably affordable option. So college isn't necessarily a one package. You have to have that four-year degree, and then that's your ticket to success. College can be a two-year degree, and it can even be a certificate. So community colleges offer one-year certificate programs in trade, and that allows you to, if you don't want to be that English major or that philosophy major, or go on to a four-year school. So I don't think it has to be an either-or. I don't think our notion of college is this one package that fits everyone. But the reality of the economy in Maine is, yes, we need more trade people, but trades folks are not going to come out of high school with those skill sets. So our goal is to help people find the right fit educationally. Maybe that's a certificate, maybe it's a two-year degree, maybe it's a four-year degree, and match that to what their particular career goals are. So that addition to the conversation is really crucial, but I wouldn't call it an either-or component of our mission.
I would just add to that, we also encourage stackable credentials. So what Catherine was just saying, a one-year certificate in building construction, for example, is a step. When they're done, they've got a job skills ready to go out and work. And should they want to go on further, then they can build on that and make an associate's degree program. And then they can build on that and later. Stackable credentials that are going to transfer from one place to the next are really great things to look at when you're looking at exploring college. What's the investment and what's the growth potential as I get further along in my education?
We're going to go to Amy, who's calling us from Augusta. Amy, you're calling from the Department of Education?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
I'm calling from the Adult Education Office, and our adult education programs have a program called Maine College Transitions, and the program is geared towards preparing adult learners for college or education, whatever that might be for them. It's a free program, and almost all local adult educations have that program, and I think it's something that your guests probably are familiar with as well, because they support our students as well once they actually get into college. But I just wanted to make you aware of it.
That's terrific, Amy. And if you have the time, I would love it if you could go to our Facebook page and add a comment with links to information about the program. Go ahead.
I would be happy to do that.
And I thank you, Amy, because it's on my notes to say, because College Transitions, not only is it a wonderful program, also you can qualify for a scholarship that you can get no other way. You have to complete the College Transitions program, and then you qualify for a scholarship that's from that. So it's a great feeder program, and the Educational Opportunity Center particularly has a very good relationship with them. So it's a wonderful feeder.
Amy, thanks so much for calling in. You know, earlier we talked really quickly about finances and how a lot of what you all are focusing is sort of beyond finances, but it still is a very important part of this conversation, isn't it, Lynn? I mean, college is more and more expensive. And even though there is financial aid, it often maybe covers tuition, but not books, room and board, everything else that goes with college.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's part of the bigger conversation about equity. And as someone who loves her students and has worked with these students for so long, I hate to see their choices driven solely by finances. And that seems to be what is happening. Years and years ago, if a student followed my advice and did what they were supposed to do, they had a lot of choices. That is not the case anymore. Their choices are very limited by finances. And I don't have all the answers, but it's still a really big piece of this picture.
An email from Kevin. I currently help a college student in their late 20s. That person has off the charts anxiety about writing. She is quite intelligent and can and gets good grades, but what we go through is exhausting. I work with others her age and am surprised to discover this is not unusual.
Yes, it's as Lynn said, we invest ourselves, and by we all have staff, great support staff, plus our host institutions. They help us as well. We invest ourselves wholeheartedly into the individual students and their stories and their aspirations. And that journey, sure, you can face challenges in that process along with the student. But the luxury we have is that we all have, at least in TRIO SSS, I have a relatively small number of students we work with because of the limitations of the grant. So we have that capacity to support the students and have other people that support us. So keep up the good work.
We'll go quickly to Kara calling from Bangor. Kara, if you could be quick, that would be great.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm calling because I graduated from the Onward program in University of Maine at Orono the year before, unfortunately, the funding was cut. I think it was under the Blue Sky Initiative. I wanted to sing my praises or your praises and also say thank you about the financial aspect. Because of the TRIO support, I was able to get, you know, scholarships that, you know, were specific to what I needed. I wouldn't have been able to find them without that support. So I just want to say thank you, and thank you for this program. It's really, I think, it's going to be much more accessible for people to pursue education.
Well, Kara, thank you so much for calling in. I'm happy to hear about your success. Catherine, I know you want to wrap up the hour by talking about how we, and I mean we as parents, we as a society, we as a state, can support students early on.
So when we were talking at break, I just, some words have really jumped out to me that, yes, it would be great to be in a support program if it's there, but it's not contingent upon that. The importance of curiosity, the importance of perseverance, the importance of feeling like you can ask questions, you have the right to ask questions, and to explore. And as I said earlier, to have this act of imagination, to just imagine if there were no barriers, if there weren't money issues, if there weren't issues with leaving your family, you can go down the list, what would you look like? And how could you make that happen? And by encouraging our students, whether we're a guidance counselor, we're a parent, we're a friend, we're a mentor, by emphasizing that act of imagination, I think in and of itself, you do not know how that one or two or three interactions can transform a student's notion of what he or she could be. And that's why we all do this job.
Mm. And I'm sensing that even though all of you are involved in this federally funded TRIO program, that your doors are open to any student who walks in and wants to ask you a question.
Sure.
That they don't have to have this sign around their neck that says, I've been chosen to receive help.
That's right. And then we don't only serve low-income first generation. That's just two-thirds of the students that we work with have to be both low-income and first generation. The other third can be other. So come on in and see us.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here so much. Catherine Luwaldi, Director of TRIO Student Support Service at Southern Maine Community College. Karen Keim, Director of Maine Educational Opportunity Center and Educational Talent Search at University of Maine Orono. And Lynn Plouffe Davis, Director of Upward Bound and Student Support Services at the University of Maine Farmington. Sandra Harris ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about renovating older homes in a sustainable way. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.